Hey, good morning. My name is Pastor Tim, lead pastor here at New Hope, and we're doing this stream online, and I'm glad you're joining us for this message because we wanted to continue the series First Things First. We don't want to push pause on the series because we are in a season at New Hope here of 21 days of prayer and fasting, and so January 9th through the 30th, we as a church are putting off some things that would normally feed our body or our soul. We're fasting from those things so we can spend more time on our spirit, right? Our relationship with God. And I'm grateful that so many of you are joining us in that journey, that you've made a commitment and you're going for it. And if you haven't done this, we do have all the resources. Like this is the sheet we handed out that talks about setting your objective, making your commitment, and creating your prayer list. If you haven't done that, go to mynewhope.tv/fast. You'll have all the resources you need to join us on that journey. And you can start now and go for 21 days from now if you want to. But we are ending our fast on the 30th with a night of prayer and worship and testimony. It's just going to be a great way to celebrate together what God is doing through this season. Now, we have told you here at New Hope that 2022 for us is the year in the Word. Amen? That we are jumping into God's Word together. We're going to start going through books of the Bible through the rest of the year after we get through this series. And we want to teach you how to study your Bible, how to read your Bible, how to understand it on your own. We want all of us as Christ followers to be in God's Word. Last Sunday, I taught you how to do that, what that means. Why in the world do we get in the Bible? I showed you the whole story of the Bible. I think I have a slide. Do I have a slide? I don't yet. Okay, so it's the bookends of creation, revelation, and the words all in between. And if you missed last week, I would encourage you, go back, watch last Sunday's message. If you're wondering why in the world you should be in the Bible, why do we read it as Christians, that is the sermon that you need to check out, okay? Why to read the Bible as we do that, okay? Now, in this season of fasting, you already got a sneak peek. Here's the reality. Fasting is hard. It just is. If this is your first time doing a fast, you're learning, boy, this is harder than I thought it was going to be, right? Or some things might be happening in your life that you're like, I thought this was going to be a really great start to the year, but maybe you're experiencing some difficult things in the season of fasting. I need you to understand this. Fasting is hard. So I'm going to ask you the question. Over the last couple of weeks, those of you who are joining us on this New Hope, have you gone through any hard thing? Maybe raise your hand right where you're at, in your living room, at home, whatever, right? Have you gone through some hard stuff? I'm assuming that you might have gone through some difficult things. You know, our family, we've been doing this for over 10 years, starting the year this way, and Nikki and I were talking, and she looked at me this weekend. She goes, Tim, I hate the fast, because we know every year when we do this, we expect some difficult things to happen, and that's been our life in this season so far. There's been some difficult things that have happened in this season, and I don't want you to be surprised by it, okay? Here's point number one. When you are fasting, you should expect spiritual oppression and attack. You should expect it. It's going to come. Anytime you try to grow, anytime you try to go deeper with God, expect there to be resistance. Because you're trying to break through some things that maybe the enemy has kind of held on to in your life. And you're breaking through some things, and he's like, I don't want you to go near that. I want you to just leave that alone. And God's like, no, let's break through that thing. Let's get past that barrier spiritually, whatever that is. And the enemy will bring oppression, spiritual oppression, and he will bring even spiritual attack, full-on attack, that you may be feeling during the season. And I don't want you to be like, whoa, 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 what is this? And then just give up. Because that's the worst thing you could do, actually. So this morning, I want to talk about what we do. If you're facing spiritual opposition, just so you know, you are in good company. You know, Jesus, he was perfect. He never sinned. He never did anything wrong. He loved people. Do you think he experienced spiritual oppression and attack? Of course he did, right? Think about all the disciples, the apostles. Yes, they did too. I think about Paul. Think about Barnabas. Think about Timothy. Think all... Any Christ follower has experienced oppression and attack. Now, how do I know that is true? Well, Peter, one of the great apostles, this is what he says in 1 Peter chapter 5. He says, be alert and of sober mind. So it's like, just be ready and understand, like have proper thinking on this. Your enemy, the devil, he prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Resist him, standing firm in the faith. I mean, Peter's saying you should expect spiritual oppression and attack. The enemy, Satan, the devil, he's out looking for people. He's out looking with all of his demons in the demonic realm, in the realm of darkness, is looking for people that can be attacked. And so you should expect it. But this is what he says, looking for someone to devour. It doesn't say, so then just hunker down and run away and be afraid. That's not what Peter said. Peter said, resist him, standing firm in the faith. He doesn't say being weak in faith, stand firm in the faith. And so today, I want to teach you and me and all of us, how do you stand firm in the faith? Well, here's the key question when I'm starting this conversation. Are you a victim or are you a victor? This is the challenge with this whole idea. Are you a victim or are you a victor, right? When you think about when hard things come, if you act like a victim, if you live like a victim, you're going to be living a hard life, to be honest with you. The victim mentality, it's kind of like this. Here's an illustration. We're kind of in football season. We're heading towards the Super Bowl. You know, it's wintertime, and some of you have been following football all through the season. Imagine if you watched a football game, and you saw somebody who was, you know, they were big, they were strong, they had all this armor, and all the, you know, all their gear and padding and stuff, and they are going out, and they're the ones that catch the ball, right? They're like a wide receiver, and they go, they catch the ball, and all of a sudden somebody, boom, just tackles them to the ground, first play of the game. And the moment they hit the ground, they just start crying, and they start whining, and they're like, ow, he hurt me, why did he do that? And he wouldn't get up, and would not get up, and would not get up. Would you continue to watch that football game? Probably not, right? Why? Because if that is what that player did, he is acting like a victim. He hurt me. It's his fault. Look what he did. Like, that's what a victim does, right? That would be a boring game to watch if everybody fell down and just started crying. Welcome to the 3-year-old football game, right? It's like, come on now. No, these men man up, right? See, a victim, this is what a victim does. A victim gives up, blames others, and stagnates, right? That's what a victim does. They give up. It's too hard. I can't do this. I'm struggling. I'm giving up. And then when they give up, they start to blame something else or somebody else for why they gave up. It was too hard because of this or because of that person, because of the situation, or because, and they start blaming other people, which leads to stagnation. I mean, you don't grow if you are a victim. You stay where you're at. I don't know if you've been around stagnant water, like water that's just been not moving, it's just been sitting in one place. It gets nasty. That's what happens with stagnant water. It starts stinking, it gets bacteria in it, like nasty, and that's what a lot of people's life, if you live as a victim, that's what your life's going to be. It's going to be stinky. That's not what a victor does, right? So I'm trying to push you from spiritual victimism, right? From being a victim of the enemy to being a victor, right? Because a victor has a different mentality. This is what a victor says. A victor doesn't give up. A victor steps up and takes responsibility and grows. That's what a victor does. It says, yeah, I got knocked down, but I'm back up again. And I'm going to do what I can do. I don't care what they're doing to me or what the enemy's trying to get to me. I'm going to do what I can do. I'm going to continue to get in my word. I'm going to continue to pray. I'm going to continue to fast. I'm going to push through till the breakthrough happens. That's what I'm going to do. If you are a victor, that's what you do. And you grow. That's what happens. Growth comes. Flowing water doesn't grow mold, right? It doesn't grow mold. Like, flowing water is fresh water. And we don't want to stagnate. We want to flow. We want to grow. We want to be victors in what God has for us. So I want us to learn today how to fight, how to stand firm in the faith and allow God to meet us in the midst of the difficult seasons we're going to go through in fasting. Because we have parts that we can play in this story. So let's put on the armor of God and fight. Now, I'm reading a passage that maybe you've heard a lot. I don't know. Maybe it's your first time. I've taught this before here at New Hope. I want you to open your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 6, okay? Ephesians chapter 6, we're going to be reading verses 10 through 20. I'm going to be reading from the NASB version, okay? And you can read from whatever version you have. But I want us to understand what we're then challenged to. This is Paul writing to the church in Ephesus because they were obviously facing spiritual oppression and attack, and he encourages them. This is what you do when attack comes. This is what you do to be a victor, okay? Let's hop into it. Let's read what it says in Ephesians chapter 6. So if you're with me online, if you're with me watching this, Ready? Everybody say, yep. All right. I heard you. Awesome. Thank you. All right. So let's start in verse 10 and see how we can live as a victor. Verse 10 says, finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. I'm starting with a positive right here. To be a victor, we can be strong in the Lord and in the strength of whose might? His might. We can be strong in the strength of our Almighty God's might, that we can live into that strength. Now, has God already had victory over the enemy? Yes and amen. Meaning, yes, it has already happened, and yes, it will continue to happen. He has already given us victory. So for us, then, verse 11, put on the full armor of God so that you will be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil. The devil's a schemer. Do you know what schemes is? Another word for like, it's like trickery, you know, that he's got these plans that he's like, I'm going to get them, right? That's what he does. And he's scheming things, and we can stand against those schemes. Satan's playbook really hasn't changed over the years. He tries to use the same things over and over again. We can stand against his schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. Our battle isn't flesh and blood. Our battle for Christ followers is against the enemy, the darkness. He's the prince of this world, and he's trying to take over this world, and he is fighting against us. He's bringing oppression and attack. Oppression is a sense of just covering of like, this is like a dark season or just feel darkness. Attack is where it's like, you know that you're being attacked on the front, right? That is what is happening. That is our battleground. So are we going to be a victor or are we going to be a victim? Therefore, because that's the reality, take up the full armor of God so that you will be able to resist on the evil day. And having done everything to stand firm. Again, he's saying the same words that Peter said, stand firm in the faith. When the devil comes, we're victors. Say it right now. I am a victor. Here we go. I am a victor. I am not a victim. I have victory in Christ. Okay? We can stand firm. And so then he says, stand firm, therefore, having, and he talks about the armor, having belted your waist with truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having strapped on your feet the preparation of the gospel of peace. In addition to all, taking up the shield of faith with which you will be able to extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. He starts listing the things that we put on. This is our responsibility, right? We're going to be proactive. We're going to stand up. We're going to step up. We're going to take responsibility, and we're going to put on this armor that he's talking about. Excuse me. So I want to read this quote. This is from Warren Wiersbe. I love how he talks about these pieces of armor. He says this. He says, these pieces of armor are for the believer's protection. The sword of the Spirit and prayer are weapons for attacking Satan's strongholds and defeating him. The Christian must fight spiritual enemies with spiritual weapons. And the Word of God is the only sword we need. God's sword has life and power and never grows dull. Christians conquer as they understand God's Word, as they memorize it, and as they obey it. God's Word is the sword of the Spirit. God's Word is the thing that which we fight the enemy. Now, I'm going to go through here in just a minute and describe all those pieces of the armor, okay? But I love that idea. This is what the Christian uses to have victory when you're experiencing oppression and attack, and especially in a season of prayer and fasting, right? He continues. He says, with every prayer and request, pray at all times in the Spirit, the Holy Spirit. Let the Holy Spirit pray along with you in prayer. And with this in view, be alert with all perseverance and every request for all of the saints, and pray in my behalf that speech may be given to me and the opening of my mouth to make known with boldness the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that in proclaiming it I may speak boldly as I as I ought to speak? So Paul's asking the church to pray for him. He's like, put on the armor and also pray for those on the front lines of the spiritual battle, like Paul, like the ones that are going out presenting the gospel, ministering to the church and to the world, right? Pray. Prayer is an important piece of the battle, okay? So this is how we have victory. Now, let me teach you each part of the armor of God. And in the end, you're going to be able to use, this is a sheet that's called Praying in the Armor of God. It's to pray through putting on the armor of God. And we have a copy of this on every chair in the room, but you're not in the room. So go to mynewhope.tv/fast. On that page, you can download this, okay, and start using it. Or go to our app and you can and find it there as well. So let's figure out how to put on this full armor of God, okay? So this is the list. This is what is spoken in Ephesians 6. He says, the belt of truth, the breastplate of righteousness, the gospel of peace, the shield of faith, the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, and power of prayer, the power of prayer. These are the things that we put on to fight the enemy, especially in seasons like this when we're praying and fasting. Man, don't give up. Don't be a victim. Be a victor, okay? So as we wrap this up, I just want to help you understand what these things are, all right? The belt of truth. This is what we know. The belt on the piece of armor, when you think about Roman armor, the belt was actually the thing that they would put on last. They would put on all their armor, put on all their stuff, and then they would wrap the belt around and cinch it all together. Like the belt was that thing that brought all the pieces of armor and held them tight together. And he's saying, put on the belt of truth. The thing that holds all things together is truth. Who is truth? God is truth. Everything God says, speaks, he has, is truth. God is truth. And so when we put on truth, we're putting off lies, right? See, the devil's schemes and the thing the devil uses all the time is lies. Actually, it's his native language we read in the New Testament. His native language is to lie. Satan is a liar, and he tries to get us to believe things that are lies. When we believe those lies in our life, they turn into the way, affects the way we think, if we believe that lie, and the way we think then affects the way we behave and live, right? And so if the enemy has a foothold, it would be to lie to you about who you are, about whose you are, that you don't belong to Christ, about bringing up guilt that you have been forgiven from all the time. Remember that thing you did? And he'll try to bring that up and accuse you and then lie to you and make you believe it, and so that then you live into that lie. Man, we have to put on the belt of truth. You are a son, you are a daughter of the Most High King. You have been forgiven because of the blood of Christ on the cross. You are no longer accused. You're freed and forgiven. And so number one, when you put on the truth, you're putting on the truth of what God has done for you. Do it, right? And then put all the truth. That means you got to be in God's word. You got to know what the truth is so that the enemy has no footholds in your life. Put on the belt of truth, and God is truth, okay? Then it says the breastplate of righteousness. We don't use terms like that, right? Sounds like a very churchy breastplate of righteousness, right? Sounds like a, I don't know. It just sounds funny. So the armor, we'll go back to the armor. The breastplate was that thing that covered the most vital organs in your body, right? It's the chest piece. It's the thing that protects your heart, your lungs, right? Your stomach, your bowel. It like protects all the major things from getting stabbed, shot, whatever it might be, with arrows, all that kind of stuff. And so when we're talking about this breastplate of righteousness that protects us, this is what righteousness is. It's being right with God, right? That we as Christ followers have been made right with God. God did his part through Christ to make us right. And now we own that righteousness, not self-righteousness. Self-righteousness is when we think we have done it ourselves. That we're good enough, we're looking good enough, we're doing all the right things, and so we're right. You know, that's not what we're talking about. It's God's righteousness, honestly. When God, we own his righteousness. God forgave us of sin through Christ, and then we receive Christ's righteousness, being right with God, as a gift. That's God's grace on us. And that righteousness we've been given helps us to also walk right with God. It prevents attack, and nothing the enemy tries to accuse you of being wrong with God or out of God can hit you. It protects your heart. And that's what the breastplate of righteousness does. We know that we are right with God. And so the lies of the enemy can't get to us. And then it says the gospel of peace. Have your feet fitted ready with the gospel of peace, meaning that you know the gospel, you know what Christ has done for you, and you're ready to bring that peace with God to other people. You're not just holding it to yourself, right? I mean, think about this. This is the armor would be like sandals, right? So that they're not just walking barefoot across a field and like hurting their toes and their feet and all that kind of stuff. This is the image of the thing that sends us, right? This is where we get to experience God's eternal and present peace because of the gospel, and that we are then ready to share that peace we've received with other people. That's what he's saying. And that's a part of the armor. Preaching the gospel, sharing the gospel attacks the enemy's work. It's awesome that we get to be a part of that story of salvation, and we're called to live into that peace that we are saved and help others walk into that peace and experience salvation. Belt of truth, breastplate of righteousness, the gospel of peace, and the shield of faith. This is actually my favorite one imagery-wise. I have on my desk, I have this picture of Roman armor, and it has this passage on it. And the shield is a big shield. It's like arched like this, and it's like really tall. And the thing is, with the shield and the Roman armor, they would cover the front with leather. And so what they would do is, in battle, they would go to a river or water source, and they would soak their shields in the water, and then they would go to battle, so that the front was coated with this moist leather. And whenever the armies on the other side had their arrows, and they're shooting their arrows, they would light the ends of the arrows flaming. That's why it says the flaming arrows of the enemy would shoot over, but when they were behind that shield, they could not get hit. And the moment the arrow hit that shield, the water would extinguish it right away. That's what we have, and the thing that extinguishes those arrows being shot at us from the enemy is faith. We believe God is who God said he is, and we trust that God is who he said he is. We know that God is God. And when we put our faith in God way more than our faith in the broken things we're seeing or living into or being attacked by, we extinguish those arrows. Because, no, I believe God in this. Not you, enemy. Not you, Satan. Not what you're trying to attack me with. I trust and believe in God. Satan is the source of unbelief and doubt. We see it from Genesis. We see it at the very beginning of the fall of mankind, of Adam and Eve. We see it when Satan comes to tempt Jesus in the desert. His attack was always, did God really say? Did God really say? He tries to cause a doubt, because that doubt removes our faith. We put up the shield? No. I know that I know. God said, and God is, and God will. Phew, those arrows out and cannot touch us. Okay, let's keep trucking. The helmet of salvation. This is a simple one for me. When I think about the helmet of salvation, the helmet, the armor of the helmet, it protects the head, right? What do we do with our heads? We think. It's the way we think. Now, a helmet, let's go back to football, okay? When somebody on a football team wears a helmet, there's two reasons to wear that helmet, because there's two things that helmet is doing. One, it's protecting, right? It's protecting that head from getting concussions and getting banged up and all that kind of stuff. But it's also declaring what team they're a part of, right? That helmet says, no, I'm a part of this team. See my helmet? See the logo? See the color? That's who I belong to. This is what the helmet of salvation does for us. It does two things. One, it protects our thinking, because the enemy wants you to doubt your salvation. He wants you to think, maybe I'm not saved. Maybe God really didn't love me enough. Maybe he wants you to doubt that. He says, no. The helmet of salvation helps you know that you're saved. That the enemy can't remove that salvation from even the way you think. I know I'm saved. I know Christ has saved me. And so it protects your thinking from the enemy's attack in your salvation. And it also declares whose team you're on. I'm on the winning team. See this logo? It's Jesus. It's big JC on the side of my helmet, right? Like, he's with me. He's got me. I'm saved. And so that's what we do when we put on the helmet of salvation. We know that we are saved, that we belong to the winning team, and we belong to Christ. The sword of the Spirit. I'm wrapping this up here. The sword of the Spirit. This is now finally the piece of the armor that goes on the offense. This is the piece that says, no, now this is what I'm using to attack. The other ones are there to protect. This one's there to attack. The sword of the Spirit is the word of God, right? The sword of the Spirit is what Jesus used when Satan tempted him. In Matthew chapter 4, we see every time Satan tempted, Jesus was something. Like, throw yourself off this, you know, off this hill or off the top of this and show that you're the Savior. Or it was tempted to turn this rock into bread because you're really hungry. Every single time he was tempted, Jesus responded with Scripture. Right? That's what we do. We know the Word of God. We read the Word of God. We study the Word of God. We memorize the Word of God. So when attacks come, we quote the Word of God. We attack with truth and the truth of God's word. And we have to know God's word to attack with God's word. See, Satan knows the Bible as well. Satan knows God as well. The demons know God as well. But they take and twist it. We need to know it so we can see when he tries to twist it that we bring truth back to it. And the only way we can bring truth to it is if we know it. We hide it in our hearts. We read it. We study it. We memorize it. That's why the importance of last week's sermon is so important. You need to know the Word of God and live into it and understand it and quote it and memorize it so that when the enemy comes with the lies, you're ready to speak God's Word out and attack. The sword of the Spirit and connected to the power of prayer. The Word and prayer. God's word and prayer are the two resources God gives us to overcome the enemy and then gain territory for God's glory in our lives. That's what he said. Get the sword out, memorize the word, preach it, and pray. Get on your knees and pray. Let me read this quote from Warren Wiersbe on this one as well. He says, "Armor and weapons are not sufficient to win a battle. There must be energy to do the job. Our energy comes from prayer. We use the sword of the Spirit and we pray in the Spirit. The Holy Spirit empowers us to win the battle, to be victors. We need the Word and we need prayer. The Word of God and prayer are the two resources God has given the church to overcome the enemy and gain territory for God's glory. And we want you to experience that in this season." And so as I wrap up, I want to challenge you with this question. In this season of prayer and fasting, or maybe just wherever you are spiritually, are you living as a victim or a victor? If you're in Christ, you are already proclaimed having victory in Jesus. Live like it, act like it, put on the armor, and move into victory. In this last week of fasting where we're in right now as a church, I'm going to challenge you, don't victimize yourself. If hard times come, just say, "Okay, I see it, God, help me win this one." And then get on your knees and pray and get into God's word, right? Helmet of salvation. I'm saved. I'm right with God. I have my that on. I am wrapped in truth because I'm getting into God's word. I'm living into the gospel. Like, you're putting on the armor. And so I want to give you a tool. And it is. It's how to equip yourself through prayer and put on the spiritual armor of God. Go to mynewhope.tv/fast. Download it and start using it during this last week of fasting. Every day, make this a part of your prayer. And it just prays through, "God, with the belt of truth, this is what I want. The breastplate of righteousness, with my feet fitted with readiness of the gospel, with the shield of faith, with the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, and also with an attitude of prayer." And there's specific prayers to pray for each one of those. A great tool for you to use. I would encourage you to use it this week. And maybe you start using it every day or every week as a part of your prayer life, because you can live as a victor through Christ. Let me pray for us. God, thank you so much that you have not left us without your word. You have given us your truth. We know, God, that you are there to fight with us, beside us, and on our behalf. We do not have to live as victims. You have given us victory because of the cross, because of the empty tomb, because of what you have done for us, God. And I'm so grateful that we can have victory. And I pray, God, for all of us right now as we're listening to this, empower us, strengthen us, help us walk through strongholds on the other side of freedom, and allow us to be a people of Christ followers, a group of Christ followers, who help others walk in victory as well. Thank you so much for your word today. It's in Christ's name I pray. Amen. God bless.